And I hear a lot of stories, and most of them I can't repeat. And I have to kind of change the names to protect both the guilty and the innocent. But some of them kind of stick with you. And it is the people that we want to love and that we want to love us that often bring the greatest pain in our lives. One friend of mine, he was a really hard guy to get to know. He was older, he was in his 70s, and he got pretty sick, and so he began to kind of tell me his life story. Sometimes people open up a little bit when they're having a hard time, and he told me about his dad. It was funny, you know, I mean, he's 70 years old, he's talking about his dad. His dad's probably been gone for 50 years. He said, my dad was the meanest man I ever met. He said, one time, he grew up in Louisiana, he said, one time, they're very poor, and they had a really hard time. He had a big family. There was like 6 or 7 kids. And his dad one time was came home so drunk that he, and it was Christmas time. It was Christmas, either the day before Christmas or Christmas. And some folks from a church knew that they were pretty poor. And so they brought them a Christmas, you know, like a Christmas tree and food and presents for all these kids, you know. His mom was a sweet lady, but she was really abused, you know, kind of in this abusive relationship with the dad. He said, and so we were all excited. My dad comes home, and somehow when he saw the stuff, his pride was wounded. So he was drunk, and he took the Christmas tree and threw it out in the yard, threw all of the presents were just, he described it that the oranges were rolling down the gutter in the rain, and the presents were sitting in the grass getting soaked, you know, with all the packaging. And here's this guy, it's been 7 decades, you know, or somewhere close to that, and he is crying, but he's not crying like sad that this happened. He's crying because he's so angry. 7 decades down the line, he's still that angry at his dad. And it affected his life. It really poisoned his life. I mean, he became a very, very kind of difficult relationships with his own kids and with his wife, and it poisoned him, that bitterness. It stunted him, stunted his soul well into his 70s. And, you know, I thought about this other, I was thinking about this message, this other young lady. Well, she was in her mid-30s when I met her, but she was talking to me, and she said, you know, she grew up, she was the second, kind of the middle daughter in a family of 3 or 4, but she always lived in the shadow of her older sister, who was always kind of dramatic and kind of in trouble and always kind of the center of attention. And because she was always in trouble, her parents were always like handling her, you know, like all the attention, all the energy, kind of, you know what I'm saying, always went to her because they were trying to keep her from like just blowing up. And so the younger sister, this lady, she was a good kid and went to school, and but she was virtually invisible. And then she had to kind of live in the shadow, the wake of her sister's kind of problems, and her parents spending all their energy and time trying to keep her out of on track. And the resentment really drove a wedge between her and her family, so much so that, like a lot of people, she moved to the West Coast. I mean, it's not the only reason why people come here, but it's one of them. And and you know, here was the thing. I asked her, I said, she said, I never talked to my family. I haven't talked to them in 5 years. And it wasn't that her parents were bad people. She even said that. They were just, and it was all past. I mean, they were all, years had gone by, you know, now. And the dynamic obviously was changed. But I said, well, why don't you get a, I said, don't you miss your family? She said, oh, I really miss them, especially like around the holidays. I miss them. I want to call them and talk to them. I said, well, why don't you? And she just couldn't answer the question. In other words, the resentment and the bitterness had gotten to be such a habit had taken such a hold on her life that even though she longed to be connected with her family and to reconnect with them again, she, at least her parents, she said that she couldn't. Her resentment just kept her away. And as I reflected on this, I thought of another fella who, after his, he developed really, really bad headaches. And if you struggle with headaches, I'm not making a blanket statement. That's a complicated kind of medical problem. And he did have a medical problem, but they were trying to figure it out. They did all kinds of tests, you know, all the ones you'd expect. And they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. Terrible headaches. And then they realized that about his headache started 3 or 4 months after his daughter died. And so when we began to talk about what the problem was, he said that, well, his daughter was picked on at school. She was a teenager. And she was harassed on Facebook, you know, on the internet. And she killed herself, which is sounds, you know, like really out there, but it's not that uncommon. I mean, it happens a lot more than you really realize. And not everybody takes their own life, but a lot of people are really affected. And when they began to really break this down and began to try and help him with his headaches, they realized that at the root of it, it was his grief. And not just his grief, but rage about it. Rage, like a long time after this, long time, like years and years after this had gone on, this problem had gone on for a long time. 4 years after this had happened, you could talk to him and it was just like his rage, like his grief, like she died yesterday. He was just stuck in his rage. And all these people, none of these people are bad people. And none of them are like, you know, like, they're all people like, well, maybe you've experienced something like it, but they're people just like you. I mean, they had jobs and careers and educations, and they weren't like this special class of people with problems. They were just people that had a problem, a common problem, but they didn't have any tools to deal with it. You know, different people deal with these kind of problems differently, but we all have them. They didn't know how to get free. And that brings me to my point, which is we've been talking about why church matters. And the reason why it's important for you to go to church, and the reason why it's important for you to be involved in a church, maybe not every church, because I've been in some churches that were pretty scary, but the reason why it's important for you to be in a church that really emphasizes the teachings of Christ is because it's really one of the very few places you're going to learn how to deal with those kind of problems. Church is a place where you will have to learn forgiveness if it's a healthy church. First of all, you've got to learn about forgiveness and learn what forgiveness is in terms of your relationship with God, how to experience God's forgiveness. And secondly, the reason why church matters, it's one of the few places on the planet where you are going to have to learn how to forgive other people. You know, forgiveness is really what Christians are known for. Even if you, if you've had a religious background where that wasn't taught, it's a bad reflection of Christianity. But overall, throughout the history of the world, throughout the history of all religious groups, the one distinguishing aspect of Christianity was forgiveness. You know, folks, most people don't identify forgiveness with Buddhism. Buddhism teaches more what they call relinquishment. And though it is taught on some level, you know, there's references to it, forgiveness is not very much of a part of Islam. Obedience, surrender, those are important concepts. But in Christianity, forgiveness is the key. It's central. As a matter of fact, in knowing about Christ and understanding about Christ, even people that have very little like exposure to Christianity, like let's say they just have like maybe some social ideas about Christianity, they get this. they think Christians, well, aren't Christians supposed to be forgiving? How come he's so ornery? You know, when they hear people or churches or groups that it's always, you know, they're always, and by the way, there are groups like this that that draw a crowd because it's always a big fight. You know, there's something about it. You know, it's kind of the playground effect. There's a fight in the playground. What happens? You know, fight, fight, especially if it's girls, you know, and then they all get around there, you know. And but there's churches that their whole shtick, I call it a shtick, is all about what the preacher's ranting about that week. But that's not what Christianity as it is intended in Scripture is really about. Think about how, you see, people that are not Christians, people that have very little understanding of Christianity will bring up, well, aren't Christians supposed to be forgiving, aren't they, to turn the other cheek people? Where's that about, you know, kind of mockingly? So they get that right on even an intuitive level. And think about what Jesus said. I mean, this is not some kind of obscure verse out of the Bible. It's very basic teaching of Jesus. But I say to you who hear, now what he's saying is, I say to you who will really listen, I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. You still with me? As long as they agree with your politics, right? As long as they agree, as long as they agree with you on all the key opinions of your life. No, he says, I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Not just people who mildly disagree with you. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Folks, a lot of Christians start doing like, oh, well, that isn't exactly what it means. No, that is exactly what it means. There's no Greek pretzel move that you can make on this. There's no like, well, in the aorist tense, there's no dispensational reality to this. This is just basic Christianity Jesus is giving us. He goes on to say, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And then he says this, and your reward will be great. And then he says, and you will be sons of the Most High. What he's saying is, I am putting my reputation. If you want to be recognized as my children, this is how you do it. This is what distinguishes you. It's not all the other stuff. You know, like the bumper sticker on your car. By the way, if you have a Christian bumper sticker, you ought to probably drive better. Quit being that person. For he himself is kind. What? He says, you'll be sons of the Most High. How would that be defined? For he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. The reason why this sounds wrong to us is it's so rare. But think about Jesus taught in the very basic prayer life of the Christian. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Can you pray like this? This is foundational prayer. This is praying 101. God, forgive me exactly like I'm forgiving all the people. All other people, the people that annoy me, the people that have hurt me, the people that have transgressed against me. Father, forgive me just like I'm forgiving them. Are you really, can you pray that prayer every day? God, help me to talk about people and to relate to them and to think about them and to Facebook about them or whatever I do. Help me to relate and communicate about them in a forgiving way, just like I want you to communicate about me. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then he says this. He adds this to the, added on to the Lord's Prayer. He comes back and revisits the issue of forgiveness. He doesn't revisit daily bread or temptation. He revisits forgiveness. Am I doing something weird? Tell me and I'll switch around here. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. You know what Jesus essentially says? Very clear. Choose your grudge or God. You can't have both. You got to have one or the other. It's grudge or God. You know, these ideas that Jesus taught are very clear. They're the distinctive note, if we put the gospel as a musical, in musical thinking. It's the one note that we all are supposed to tune to. And let me ask you, other than church, where are you going to learn this? And where are your kids going to learn it? How to forgive. And that they have to forgive. Where are you going to be reminded to forgive the people that annoy you and disappoint you and hurt you and disagree with you and people that you think are dumb? Where are you going to be reminded to do that? Where will you be pushed and prodded and spurred to forgive people? And this is why church matters. And by the way, I just want to remind you that church is also a place where you're going to be around people that you will have to practice forgiveness. Did you know that everybody here is annoying at some point? Let me ask you, how many of you here have the ability to be annoying sometimes? A couple liars here. No. Are narcissists, you really don't think you're annoying. Who, me? Why would they be annoyed at me? I'm so sanctified. But, you know, one of the reasons why you want to gather with a church community is it's a place where you get to practice forgiveness, because people are going to overlook you and they're going to ignore you maybe, or maybe they're going to hurt your feelings, or they're not going to, it could be any number of things. But you know what he says? God has reconciled the world to himself through Christ by not accounting their sins against them. And then you know what he did? He gave you, if you're a Christian, the ministry of reconciliation. How are you going to do that if you can't if you don't practice forgiveness? You see, we have to be more than, you know, we're supposed to be peacemakers. Do you know that? Peacemaking is a job. It's making something. It's doing something. It's active. It's not some kind of like, you know, passive thing. It's making peace. But you know, I think a lot of us can easily get into the habit of being peace talkers but not peacemakers. Matter of fact, a lot of times we're actually conflict makers and pot stirrers. We have to be more than just talkers. We have to be practicers. And this is the only way that people are going to know that you really are a Christian, is that are you a peacemaker? Are you a person who demonstrates the grace of God as you deal with other people and what you say and do and what you post and everything about you, even how you drive? That's why Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be what? Called the sons of God. They are the ones that are going to be known as God's true people. Yeah, peacemaking means you help people make peace with God and with each other. So how important was this to Jesus? How important was this whole theme of forgiveness to Jesus? It was central to the entire gospel. I mean, think of this. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. And Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. Jesus is the standard. As a matter of fact, you know when they talk about musical instruments, they talk about, those of you that know a little bit about musical instruments, they talk about standard tuning. So if a musical instrument is out of tune, like, now some of you, if you're from like some Central Asian country, might think that that's in tune, but that wasn't a racist remark. They just use a different tonal structure. But you can have a really expensive instrument This is a fairly good instrument. You know, it's all made out of nice, you know, like flame maple and everything. And a lot of work can gone into it. And you can be a fairly good musician, but if your instrument is out of tune, it's just not going to be good. It's not going to sound right. And so how do you do it? Well, you find, now we have these little fancy things, but it'll bring it up to standard pitch, which is these little technological things will give a true, they're tuned to a certain number of vibrations. So in the case of standard tuning for like a piano or most instruments, it's A, which would be 440 vibrations. And they say, well, banjo sounds bad anyway, but it sounds way worse when it's out of tune. I just want to go on record, Greg. Okay. So it doesn't, you know, if you have know all kinds of stuff, you went to Bible college, you've had all kinds of experiences and blah, blah, blah. You've done all kinds of stuff in church and you gave the United Way. I don't know what you did. But you did all that stuff, but you are out of tune with Jesus. You're going to sound terrible. You're going to repel people. You're not going to attract them. And the very things that you're saying are going to be, you know, it just doesn't matter. They're not going to hear the song. And that's why he says, let all bitterness. That's why Paul said Jesus is the standard. And here's how he said it. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. That means saying anything that would be out to hurt the other person or to put them down or to degrade them, people you know, people you don't know, people that are public figures, people that aren't public figures, doesn't matter. Along with all malice, and be kind to one another. Have a tender heart, be tenderhearted, forgiving each other. How? Just as God in Christ has forgiven you. In other words, how do I forgive? Well, I tune my forgiving to Jesus, the way he forgave. And so then you can like play the song like, I've got a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets those captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me your life abundantly. And so, but if you don't tune to Christ, not going to be any of that. So you say, well, how do I do that? How do I get my life, how do I get my life in tune with the standard, with Jesus as a standard? Well, I'll give you three quick things. Number one, receive forgiveness by faith. In other words, you cannot become a forgiving person if you haven't really experienced forgiveness. You have to receive the forgiveness that comes through Jesus. You know, you're not going to work your way into being forgiven. It's a gift. It's given to you. Jesus Christ went to the cross to provide a way for you to be forgiven, and he rose from the grave to prove that that forgiveness was sufficient, and you receive that by faith. You receive that grace through faith. You have to trust it for yourself. I mean, people can talk about it, but at some point in time, you're going to have to trust that he meant it, and I need to receive it. And so you trust him for yourself. It's more than head knowledge. It's more than emotion. It's you actually saying, okay, I'm going to choose to believe that he's forgiven me and I've received a complete pardon from him and he's forgiven me for everything I've ever done, everything I thought about doing, everything I could do. He's provided a way for forgiveness. And what happens is when you get tuned like that, you can relative tune. So like on an instrument, the way instruments work is, like let's say you just get one note in tune. So you tune to this note. I don't know. Maybe I didn't tighten that down enough, Mike, that's it. Sorry, I didn't. That was my bad. Okay, I got it. I think. Maybe I didn't. Let me take my little box out here. These newfangled things. Okay. I don't know. Maybe I broke it. I could have. I broke stuff before. I'm kind of hard on it. Well, so you, let's say you get one string in tune. And what happens is you can relative tune. I don't know whether I'm doing this right, Mike. This isn't distracting or anything, is it? No, just pay. There's no point in me trying to do it sneaky. You're just going to be completely paying attention to this anyway. So, okay, let's try that. That's probably not going to work. I probably broke it. I think it did. But so you tune one string, like right here. Or this string, the D string. And now I could tune the rest of the strings. I could tune the G string, and then I can tune the B string, D string, G string. Okay, you relative tune. So if you get in tune, you know what you can do? You can tune your relatives. You can. You can begin to tune your relatives. You begin to become that note. You reflect the note of Christ, and so all of a sudden they can start getting in tune, and your relationships can get better. You can tune your husband up a little bit. All right, I don't mean the way you guys are thinking about tuning them up. I'm going to tune them up. But, you know, the Bible says God gave us that ministry of reconciliation, and we're supposed to be reconciled. But so there's one. You receive God's forgiveness. Oh, he's so forgiving. And because he's been so forgiving to you and he forgives you in such a way, you're going to forgive other people. So you begin to grant forgiveness to other people by faith. You know that forgiveness is always granted before it's felt. If you wait around or feel like forgiving most of the people that really annoy you, you're never going to do it. Like, I probably told you this before, but my wife, she understood this. And so I just want to say, I know it's going to be a shock to you, but I can be annoying sometimes to her. I annoy her sometimes. So I would say to her, like if I hurt her feelings or something, I would say, you know, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Please forgive me. And Sue would say, like if she was in the laundry room or something, she's like doing something. And she would look at, I'd say, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? And she'd look at me. The kind of squinty eyes, you know. And then she would say, it's granted. That's it. And you know what I would say? I didn't say anything. That was time to leave the room. Carry on. What she was trying to say was, I'm still really mad at you. My emotions are really, I am really unhappy with you. But I'm going to choose to not harbor this. And then I'm going to let my feelings kind of catch up later. And then later on, she's a good person. I mean, she would, after a couple months, she'd get over it. No, she would get over it. She would get over it pretty fast. Okay. So you say, how do I do this? I am to be kind to one another, tender-hearted. And what do we tune to? Forgiving each other just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Oh, that's so hard. It's not just hard, it's impossible without Jesus. Because here's what Jesus is telling you have to do. You have to forgive everyone. That's how he forgives. He'll forgive everyone. And he forgives everything. And here's the part that gets really hard. He forgives every time. Now you say, well, that's sick and wrong because you don't know some of the bad things people have done. Listen, I realize I don't want to blunt what I'm saying to you in any way. You do need to forgive everyone, everything, every time. That doesn't mean you need to loan them your truck again after they wrecked it. That doesn't mean you need to let them watch your kids if they're not a safe person. That's a different issue. That's responsibility, not bitterness. Now you say, oh, that's a loophole I can drive my truck through. No, I'm saying to you, you cannot harbor bitterness. You do have to be responsible still. Thirdly, so you need to receive God's forgiveness. You need to grant forgiveness to other people. And that would include you, too. Did you know if you have a list of people you need to forgive, you need to make sure you're on the list? A lot of you have some really deep problems because you just won't let yourself off the hook. If Jesus died on the cross for you to be forgiven, and he also wants you to experience that forgiveness. And then you need to maintain your forgiveness by faith. In other words, forgiveness is kind of like, you forgive somebody, it's kind of like rotivating your garden and planting it with seed, and but you got to weed it or it's going to get taken over. And so you have to maintain your forgiveness from God, and that means you don't need to maintain your salvation, but in order to keep an intimate relationship, friendship with God, when you do things and say things and think things, you need to, on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me, keep that relationship open and receive that. And you need to maintain your forgiveness toward others by granting forgiveness to them. Because anything less than that will put you out of tune with Jesus Christ. You know, isn't it funny in life you can do too much or too little of almost anything? You can eat too much or you can eat too little. You can spend too much or you can be so stingy. Like one guy that comes to early service, he said she was so stingy she could take a penny and squeeze the Gettysburg Address out of it. And I thought that was such a great line. I had to use it. And, you know, Lincoln, Gettysburg Address, just want to fill you history buffs in. You can be too loud or you can be too quiet. You can be too slow or you can go too fast. But you know one thing you can't be too much of? You can't be too much like Jesus. You can never be too much like Jesus. I mean, who is ever going to say, you know what? She's just too much like Jesus, too loving, too joyful, too happy, too forgiving, too kind, too gentle. He's got way too much self-control. He's just over the top on self-control. Nobody ever says that. You know, no musician ever says, oh, you know this, Ross, no musician would ever say, you know, his guitar is way too in tune. It's either in tune or it isn't. And so what I'm trying to say to you is you can never be too in tune with Jesus. You can't. You can never be too much like Jesus, too much in love with him and too loving like him. When you are tuned to Christ, you're going to have a new song in your heart. You're going to have a new song in your life. But for that to happen, to tune to Christ, you have to turn to Christ. To really be tuned to his spirit who will come to live in you and change you from the inside out, you have to turn to him. You have to turn from trying to figure this all out on your own and by faith to trust him for yourself. And you receive his forgiveness, not because you deserve it, but because he offered it. Not because you're going to be so good, but because he already is so good. Not because you're worthy, but because he is so wonderful. You receive his forgiveness by faith. And you begin to grant forgiveness to the people in your life. And that's a hard thing. And it takes time. And it's a journey. You know, one of the ways you're going to know you've granted forgiveness to people is you're going to quit talking bad about them. You're going to quit being negative about them. And then you're going to maintain forgiveness. You're going to keep up with that. Let me ask you, have you let bitterness creep into your life? Have you let it creep in? Because bitterness is like a little thing. It's like, it's all bitterness is it's just anger left overnight. That's all it takes to root in your life. And it begins to grow. That's what the Bible says. And what it does is as bitterness grows in your inner life, what it does is it begins to poison you. And it produces a poisonous fruit out of your life that will poison a lot of other people. Do you ever notice how anger and bitterness is kind of contagious? It can run in families. It can run in whole, it can run in people's you know, whole perspective on life. They just, it just poisons them, and it poisons their kids. And we've seen this happen in so many areas, you know, with prejudice and other things. You don't even know what's happening, but you have this resentment, and you don't even maybe know where it came from, but it's a poisonous fruit. And that's what Hebrews 12:15 says. It says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled, many be poisoned. Do you know the way you do this? The way we keep this from happening is we just confess it. The way we maintain it. The way we turn to God in the first place is we say, God, I confess I'm a sinner and I need you to forgive me and I want you to be the Lord and God of my life. That's how we start. Or when we've been Christians for a while and we blow it and we go, Lord, thank you that you're so faithful to me. I confess I was wrong. Please show me what to do. And that's why he says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and he is righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from all of it, and he will. So we confess it, and he sets us free. All those people I started with today, each one of those people came to that point in their lives, and I had the joy of seeing each one of them turn and receive God's forgiveness by faith, and I, over time, saw them forgive other people as an act of faith to grant forgiveness, and I saw them learn through life to maintain forgiveness, sometimes work through those relationships over and over again. Well, let's pray together, shall we? Lord, thank you for your amazing forgiveness. Thank you for your unsurpassable, your magnificent gift of forgiveness. And thank you that you do it for us. You offer this to everyone about everything, and you offer it every time. And so, Lord, we don't want to turn you down. We want to tune our hearts to sing your praise and to be like you. Help us to do that today in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to take this little yellow card, if you would. Hold this thing up, if you would, if you got one of these. Got a little special canary-colored card. Our goldfinch-colored card. How's that? How's my, what's that? Goldenrod. I've never seen a goldenrod look that golden, but maybe I missed it. But what I would tell you is this. There's some, you can put your name on here as a response, and you can put a prayer request on the back or information you want. But there's some specifics to this message that are really important that you consider doing. Number one, I want to receive God's forgiveness through Christ now. You could do that. Jesus said, today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I want to receive God's forgiveness through Christ. You can do that. Turn to him right now. Cry out to him. Trust him as your Lord and Savior. Do that today. Don't wait another day. Don't think, oh, this kind of, I think I need to, but I'm going to think about it. No. What do you need to think about? You need his forgiveness, and he's offering it. Number two, I commit to grant forgiveness to all others as Christ forgave me. That's a journey that you need to start. I want to grant forgiveness. And as you grant forgiveness, your feelings will catch up. Number three, I commit to forgive myself as I trust God's grace. You know what? It's so important that you do this. God didn't send his son to the cross so you could walk around feeling horrible about yourself forever. He wants to set you free. And then I commit to maintain forgiveness daily. That means you're going to need to go to God every day. You're going to need to be reflective. You're going to need to be self-aware and ask the Holy Spirit to remind you when you're wrong and to live a life like that. And then for some of you, you say, hey, I want to commit to be baptized as soon as possible. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, and today's going to be that day, and now you know that the next thing is to follow in the baptism. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, and you realize, man, it's such a simple, you know, next step. I need to follow in baptism. Well, check that box. We have a baptism coming up in a couple weeks, and if that doesn't work, we'll make it work for you.